Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Comforting classics.
Fresh new content.
Something old.
Something new.
Join Emma and Lucy each month for a new podcast from Fan Critical.
Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Something Old, Something New.
Whee.
We come to you after many, many hours of technical difficulties here in sunny England. And by sunny, I mean cold. And very cold.
It was particularly cold today. And I, for one, welcome the lighter mornings and lighter evenings, but it is going to have to get warmer because I cannot deal with this.
Yep.
In my mind, winter's over. Why am I still wearing a hat indoors as we speak? It's just too cold.
Well, I was going to say, if you don't recognise that voice, that is Lucy. And she is wearing a hat whilst recording a podcast.
I haven't taken it off.
It's magical.
Since coming into the house. So
I think that's fair, to be honest. I... Emma, hello, your host, went for a run at 7 o'clock this morning. It was minus one degree Celsius.
It was so cold this morning. I also went for a run at 7 o'clock this morning. Look at us. Oh, healthy living.
Look at us go. Healthy living. So if you are new to Something Old, Something New, the premise of this podcast is very simple. Welcome. Welcome indeed. You are very welcome today. The premise of Something Old, Something New is exactly what it says on the tin. Lucy and I get together about once a month and we talk about something old that we've watched. So an old favourite, something that is a comfort to us. Or perhaps we're rewatching it because we're ageing now and we can't remember what happened in the film we watched 10 years ago. And we talk about something new that we've watched and what we think about it, if we'd recommend it. And we've recently started using our usual Fan Critical Blueberry system to rate these things.
Yeah, don't know why we weren't doing that before, but better late than never, as they say.
And sometimes better not to question, let's all be honest. today I am going to ask Lucy to, and I'm going to completely flip things around, Lucy to ask us to open up with her something new.
Oh gosh.
For today's episode.
Now that's what I call a cold open. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about it being cold. I'm just been plunked straight in, reversing the format. I love it. That's fine. Okay, my something new this week is a film that I watched on Amazon Prime. Other streaming platforms are available, but this was on Amazon Prime.
Indeed.
Amazon Original. And it is a rom-com called I Want You Back, starring Charlie from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That's his name in it. That's his name, wherever he is. Is in my mind, he's just Charlie.
Yep.
And Jenny Slate, who is a very talented comedian, who I probably know her best from Parks and Rec as Mona Lisa, Ralphio. You know, not Don Ralphio. What's his surname? I can't remember. Money, please. That's what she says. And it is actually a very funny film. And it's a rom-com that doesn't stint on the com, because I think a lot of the time,
good,
especially these streaming platforms like Netflix is guilty for this. Their
rom-coms
are shit, and we watch them because They're cute. It's almost like Christmas films. Like, you're expecting them to be shit. That's kind of what you're looking for. But they are really shit, like, on varying levels. I think the last good one on Netflix was the To All the Boys I've Loved Before films, which are good. If you like rom-coms, guys,
oh, yeah,
they're lovely. The rest of it, the rest of their output's pretty dross. This is actually very good, and it is genuinely funny at times and made me laugh out loud several times. Great performances, great chemistry between the leads. It's predictable in that it ends the way you imagine it's going to end, but how they get there is not predictable. And I just really enjoyed it. I thought it was really funny. I thought it was sweet. I thought their burgeoning love was believable. There's some singing involved at points because there is a stage production of Little House of Horrors, Little Shop of Horrors. That'd be good if I could get my...
I thought you were going to say Little House on the Prairie, and I was like, that is rom-com heaven.
That would be great, but no, there's a big plant, a man-eating plant in it. It's also got Manny Jacinto from The Good Place. I don't know if you've watched The Good Place.
Oh, sweet!
He is beautiful, and he's very funny in this as a kind of beautiful douchebag. I just really enjoyed it. It's really was an enjoyable, fun, sweet film, and it surpassed my expectations because the trailer is pretty shit. But I listened to the reviews and I thought, I like her and I like him and I think they could be good together in this film, and they were.
Well, that was going to be my question, Lucy, is for something that sounds like the thing we'd watch at Christmas, perhaps,
yes.
And not often something that you'd probably hope to be well rated, what drew you to I Want You Back? Please, tell us your journey.
I had just seen on social media that, because it's released in time for Valentine's Day, it's about a month, I probably watched about a month ago, that it was actually good, basically. You know, when something surpasses expectations, you tend to hear about it because it's a surprise that it's as good as it is. So that's how I heard about it. And it's like an hour and a half potentially, like it's not long. And yeah, it was just an easygoing film. There's quite an amusing cameo in it. It amused me anyway. It's got Clint Eastwood's son, whose name escapes me.
Little Eastwood.
Eastwood Jr., Clint Jr., I don't know. But he's, you know, fine to look at as well. And it's just, yeah, it's a good time. And it was quite sweet. And yeah, great, some great performances. And yeah, I would give it 4 blueberries. And I would recommend it for an easy watch. I believe we watched it on a Sunday evening. And
lovely.
Yeah, definitely a higher class of output than I'm used to in these sort of romantic comedies that are made by the streaming platforms, that they're kind of there just to get viewed. They're not really there to actually be any good. But this was quality.
I'm impressed and intrigued, actually.
I really think you should just watch it because it's funny and it will probably cheer you up if you feel sad, if you're cold. I'm always cold.
I'm always cold.
Warm you up a bit.
Constantly cold.
Yeah, some actually really funny moments and sweet moments as well.
Oh, did you shed a tear, Lucy, during this film?
I did not shed a tear. And it's not without its faults. There are a couple of moments when I thought, is that necessary? But I was, pleasantly surprised.
How intriguing.
Yeah, I think,
how very intriguing.
I think you would enjoy it. I think you would like it.
Well, perhaps. So Joe's on nights this Friday evening and I thought I'd have a night in.
Oh, yes.
So perhaps this is the film for my Friday night.
Lovely Friday night. Maybe a bit of popcorn. Maybe some Haagen-Dazs. Maybe a can of fizzy pop.
Ooh,
or something stronger.
Maybe. And treat myself.
Yeah, do it. You deserve it.
Maybe fizzy pop and something stronger. Who knows?
Fizzy strong.
Fizzy strong pop.
Yeah.
Fizzy strong pop. Well, thank you, Lucy, for bringing us your something new. I'm going to lead us on nicely from your, chilly, cold-hattedness.
It's a cold hat.
The cold hat. The hat for the cold. And I'm gonna take you to my something old. We came home
something
from dinner the other night.
Something old or something cold? Huh?
Well,
yeah. Am I right?
It's definitely not cold.
Oh, okay.
It's definitely not cold. So my something, we came home from dinner the other night and I said, I know what I really want to watch. And I'm going to see how long it takes you to guess what this film is. So this film came out in 2007.
Okay.
It's a little long for my liking. It is 2 hours and 1 minute.
That's fine.
It is directed by Edgar Wright.
Okay.
And it has a cast that you cannot fault.
I know what it is already. Can I say? Just so you know,
yeah,
that I know it. Hot Fuzz. One of my all-time favorites. Always want to watch it. So very...
How can you not want to watch the Cornetto trilogy or any part of the Cornetto trilogy at any point,
This is my favorite
right?
part of the trilogy. Controversial, I know, because Shaun of the Dead's probably a better film, but this is very in my wheelhouse.
I've got a really, really fond, like, soft spot for Hot Fuzz. I mean, okay, so think about it. So you got Bill Bailey.
Love it.
Bill Nighy.
All the Bills.
Martin Freeman, and then Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
Amazing.
And I'm pretty sure at one point somebody totally rogue appears, and I can't remember who it was because I haven't seen this for...
You get Steve Coogan as part of the police force.
You do.
You've got fucking Paddy Considine in there doing his best De Niro impression. You've got Rafe Spall.
Thank you.
Who, during this film, became a bit obsessed with him because he's just got nice curly hair. And, yeah.
It's fair.
And, yeah,
it's
you know who it is that's in it. That is really random. There's a couple of people. You know his girlfriend, Janine, I've seen it that many times, who is the crime scene investigator. That's Kate Blanchett.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, right? So I said that to Joe, and he is obsessed with Hot Fuzz and the Cornetto trilogy in general. And I immediately heard her voice and was like, Kate Blanchett. And he went, no, it can't be. And I was like, you look it up on IMDb.
Look at her eyes.
I promise you. Yeah, you can just tell. The voice, the eyes, the cheekbones under the mask. You just know.
I'm pretty sure I watched the DVD commentary of this. Probably the only film I've ever done it of. With
Edgar Wright,
Nick Frost, and I think Simon Pegg just talking about it. And that's where I found that out. Also, Peter Jackson is the Santa that stabs Nick Pegg. Nick Pegg? Simon Pegg.
Simon Pegg?
Nick Clegg. Yeah. Blast from the past.
I reckon Peter Jackson would stab Nick Clegg dressed up as Santa if given the chance, don't you?
Yes, but we do not condone violence, of course.
I did my homework today. So after deciding that I was going to talk about Hot Fuzz, because I've watched a few things lately, like rewatches, I decided to check out the deeps behind the film. And I did not realise or remember the tagline from Hot Fuzz, which is possibly the best part of the film.
Here comes the fuzz? No. That's something that you said in it.
They're bad boys. They're diehards. They're lethal weapons. They are Hot Fuzz.
I don't remember that either.
How good is that? I unbelievable. And I just think, this film has everything, right? It's got laughs a minute. There's action. There's, you know, a bromance. There's
tension, a mystery. It's quite scary at times and very gory.
Family drama. You know, there's a bit of casual racism, which is not appropriate, but in its own way, slightly amusing.
What's the casual racism?
I can't remember.
Okay. Very casual then. Too casual to even remember.
Very casual. But of course, there was a bit of casual racism. There's a tiny village cult.
There's a killer swan.
There's some bizarre...
There's a model village.
Oh, I love the model village.
Fuck off the model village.
There's Bill Nighy. Any film with Bill Nighy.
It's a who's who, really, of like British greats. Timothy Dalton. Yeah. Come on. Performance of a lifetime. He is
Thank
so
you. That
fantastic.
Was who I was trying to remember. Timothy Dalton is just, I mean,
he is
people
so funny.
Forget. People forget about Timothy Dalton, but he
really
is
do.
Just ridiculous in this, but it's perfect because it's like... I once played a spy and now I'm sort of retired and don't get much work, but let me play this role as if I'm in Midsummer Murders on a Wednesday afternoon, a two-parter. Oh, me too. And it is, don't you, I mean, that's what I get from Hot Fuzz. It's like
that.
An action comedy Midsummer Murders. And it's just so joyful and funny, but also there's, you know, some real heart.
Yeah.
Some real heart to it. And I just, yeah, it's magical. It really totally magical. But that swan scared the shit out of me, Lucy, because I am terrified of swans.
Apparently, they can break a man's arm.
Yeah, they can. Yeah, violent. Violent, giant animals.
Oh, it's such a good film.
Don't...
It's literally one of my favourite films. I'm very...
Such a good
I'm
film.
I'm very glad. I remember when I was at uni, because it came out when I was at uni, we come in from like a night out, like pissed up, and just like, let's put Hot Fuzz on, because it's just so funny.
Yeah.
It's maybe a touch long. For what it is, it goes on a little bit. I think that's actually deliberate because they're kind of mimicking those films where you're like, it's over And it's like, fuck's sake, the villain's back. They didn't die. They're here again. They're holding a knife to someone's throat. So I do think that's deliberate. But yeah, it's just so funny. I don't know if you saw, actually, during the big storm. So we've had some storms here in the UK recently. And the spire of a church in Wells, where Hot Fuzz was filmed, fell off.
No way.
Much like it does in the film when it, you know, kills.
Did it? It did impale not someone.
Impale the local journalist who was about to uncover the truth about the new motorway being built through Sanford. But
such a shame.
I mean, I'm glad no one got hurt. But it was pretty. Mad video to see this spire, church spire fall down, and yeah. Everyone's saying it's like Hot Fuzz. And
yeah.
It's like, yeah, it is. Same town.
Terrifying.
Mm, but great film.
In fact, we've been naming our storms like I imagine Hot Fuzz would name storms.
Yeah.
Eunice.
Yeah. That's
Storm Eunice.
An old-fashioned name. What was the other one? Duncan? Less,
is it Duncan?
Less of, something D, isn't it? I thought it was Dunstan.
Yeah, it was a D. I think it was Duncan. I think you were right the first time. Weird. It's a bizarre set of choices, I'll be honest, that are made, really, in our naming of weather patterns.
Yeah.
Very odd. So I think that we may well be pushing on through the trilogy for some further fun in and around other similar films. Although I have to ask you, because obviously not officially part of the trilogy, but still one of my favourites. What's your opinion on Paul?
Paul.
I
haven't seen it. Next. Sorry.
Okay, let's go back and mention the one last thing I'd like to say about Hot Fuzz. Olivia Colman.
Fuck, yeah, she's in it. Gosh, yeah. Just an Oscar winner.
So Olivia Colman plays PC Doris.
Oh, she's so funny.
She spends a lot of time talking about how she's been around the office a lot.
Double entendres abound.
It is a spectacular performance that I utterly, utterly adore. And one final fact for you, the murderous swan, was called Elvis.
Oh. Well, what blueberries are you giving it? That's what we all want to know.
Oh, well, how could you not give it 5 blueberries? Hot Fuzz is a masterpiece, even, let's scare ourselves here, 15
Bloody
years
hell.
On. 15 years on, still an absolute masterpiece. It doesn't age.
No, I love it. If ever it's on,
I don't think.
ITV2, I will always like watch it.
Yeah.
I'll always catch it if I can, because I love it.
Yep.
And I love Shaun
Absolutely.
Of the Dead, but there's something about Hot Fuzz that just really gets me, inspires me, and I just think it's hilarious. Yeah. Oh, great.
There you go. So, Lucy.
Yes, ma'am.
I am throwing the sausen batten. That sounds some kind of
the what now?
Real
soften.
The sausen. Sossen, something old, something new.
Right.
The sossen
baton. I thought that was some kind of ancient tribal ritual. Like, it sounds sort of.
Yeah, the irony is that I'm fully sober as well.
The sossen baton.
The sossen baton.
That
it does
school.
Sound a little bit. No, that was the other one.
Saturn who?
Not. Thank you. I was just thinking of Polston Lacey, which is a National Trust property.
Oh, completely we are irrelevant. Old.
We are old. Look at us go with our National Trust memberships. Lucy, I would like to hear about your something old, please.
Okay, so you have just done your something old about police force, a bit corrupt, potentially. Well, it is corrupt, as is the rest of the community. I have finally finished The Wire.
What?
Yes, it's done.
No way.
Completed it, mate.
That is
I'm not
mental.
Adjusting to real life well, because last night I had a dream that I was at a school reunion with the cast members of The Wire. Literally, I was like, where's Idris? Is Idris going to turn up? Where's Michael K. Williams? Oh,
that's...
no, he can't be here because he died. Like, yeah, so it's very much still in my
oh, God,
psyche.
Yeah,
like, I just, it got under our skin so much that, yeah, I just can't believe that I'm not going to see these characters anymore or spend any more time on the streets of Baltimore with them.
How long did it take you to watch The Wire?
So, you know what? The seasons have maximum, like, 13 episodes. So it's not that bad, and there's five seasons, so it's not unmanageable at all. So we'd started, when Michael K. Williams died, I was like, I want to rewatch The Wire because I had only seen the first season. So it is something old in that it's an old show and I have seen it, but I hadn't finished it. So it could really fit into either category. So that was, when was that? Like October time? So I think we started in October-ish. So October.
Yeah, that sounds about right, November, actually.
Obviously over Christmas didn't watch any. So it's not taken long. And I think when you binge a show like this, obviously it didn't come out in that. It's not been available in that format, really. It is different. And I think each season is sort of set in a different aspect of life in the city of Baltimore. And that could be lost a little bit when you binge it, because it's a bit harder to differentiate the seasons and say, well, this one's best and that one's best. And this happens in this season. So I would struggle to probably remember exactly what happens when. But yeah, it's absolutely, funnily enough, the critically acclaimed show The Wire is actually good. Yes, correct. It's very good.
Shock, horror.
Yeah, who thought?
Surprise.
Who thought? Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. Loved watching it. Loved really like committing myself to it and really paying attention and becoming completely absorbed in it. And I think there's not that many shows nowadays where you have to do that. It's very, you know, look at your phone, zone in and out.
Yeah.
A lot of shows, they don't demand that from you. And I know it was a struggle, like, especially for Aaron watching it at first. He was like, who's that they're talking about? And I'm like, I don't know, but we'll find out. And it relies
on the viewer. It's that patience thing we don't have.
Yeah. It very much relies on the viewer to be patient, to watch, and you will find out who that is. And you just have to pay attention, be sharp and be committed. And I understand why not everybody is up for doing that these days, but I found it quite an escape, as grim as some of it is, just to go into this completely different world, acting out of this world. There are some amazing performances. So obviously Michael K. Williams as Omar is one of the best characters that's ever been created. That's canon now. Everyone like accepts that. It launched the career of Idris Elba, who is fantastic as Stringer Bell. Dominic West obviously is the lovable rogue, sometimes not so
he's
lovable.
So forgotten, Dominic West.
He's been
he?
In like, so much though, and he's everywhere, and he's always the same kind of, he's never just a straight good guy. I mean, in The Wire he's a cop. I mean, not saying that the cops are automatically good guys. He's a drunk, he's very much an adulterer, he's a bit of a sleaze, a bit of a loser, but he's good police, as they say. Michael B. Jordan's in it in the first season, tiny, when he's really young.
Shit, yeah.
And it's just, yeah. The last season is a bit, it goes a bit stupid. It jumps the shark, as they say. But it doesn't take away from what an achievement it is. And I think how it changed television and how people watch television, what they're willing to kind of go through to watch television. And yeah, I am a bit sad that it's over and we're kind of, don't really want to start anything else because nothing can compare at the moment. We don't want to start anything.
That's the difficulty.
Yeah, when you've had something that good and it's held up to be that good, you realise actually it's fine to watch, you know, stuff that's not the same, but if there's any dramas, like there's something we're watching, I think you're going to mention it later, so I won't say anything. And I think going from The Wire to that, we're like, this is just so serious and quite somber and dull, whereas The Wire was very full of life and full of the way that people speak, the way that it's basically the American dream gone wrong, and this is the reality of it across all aspects of society. So you've got journalism, you've got the schools, you've got the docks, you've got the police force, you've got the streets, you've got politicians. It's really a whole world, and I can't recommend it highly enough to people that haven't watched it. Probably not many of them around, but if you haven't, it's worth the commitment. And it is, of course, 5 blueberries. Despite the dodgy last season, it's not like Game of Thrones, where, you know, now I wouldn't really recommend Game of Thrones to someone to watch because of how bad it gets. Whereas The Wire is a bit silly towards the end, but it doesn't ruin the overall enjoyment or quality. And I just absolutely love it. Love the characters.
You sound quite bereft.
I am. I mean, the fact that I dreamt about it, you spend so much time with these characters, getting to know them, getting to know their lives. And yeah, you know, some of the endings, you're just like, oh my God, like, I would rather this character have died than go through what they're going to end up going through. I think it's superlative TV. And it's like the Great American Novel, you know, but in film form. We can always rewatch it.
I think that's the thing,
I suppose.
And you say it really did change television, because what it did was it got people to commit to, you know, years of a show, yeah, and to the characters and to the world. And it's the kind of thing, really, that I don't think you really had on television much beforehand in that respect. You probably more had it in a book. You know, if you read a series of books and you remember, well, you remember we were all reading Game of Thrones, yeah, before George R. R. Martin decided he didn't want to finish writing them. You know, how utterly absorbed you were by wanting to get to the next page and the next page and the next chapter and the end of that book and the next book, and wanting to really commit yourself to the world of Westeros, you know. And I know that's a completely different genre, but
no, but it is that it's the world building that occurs, and yeah, the way nothing is given to you straight off the plate. You have to earn it by watching, by paying attention, and you know it's going to come, and you know that if you pay attention, listen closely, which I believe was the tagline for The Wire, the show, listen closely, you know you're going to get the rewards. And yeah, the rewards are just like fantastic. Yeah, I loved it.
It's there's something really special about that sort of thing, because it doesn't happen very often.
No, it doesn't.
And I think that's a real testament to the cast, to the writers.
Yeah, I mean, the writing is fantastic. And the ear that they have for the language of the streets is just, it all feels so authentic to me, like a white person from Kent. But, you know, you really feel like you're there, and it all is ringing really true. And you know, the
young white lady from the Garden of England.
And it is a similar thing to Game of Thrones. Like, there are no heroes, really. There are people trying their best, but they're not perfect people. People make mistakes. And even the quote-unquote bad guys, there's a code there with a lot of them. There's a way of living, and you can see why they behave like that sometimes. Like, it's just, yeah, I can't fully believe, yeah, that it's over. So we're going to take a little break from prestige shows. I think we'll probably do The Sopranos next. And then I can see which is best out of the two behemoths of prestige television. Ooh. But yeah, ooh. The Wire.
Well, I'm going to readmit to everybody that I've never seen The Wire, and I have never seen The Sopranos either. And it's funny, because I think that we were talking about this the other night. So I now love a TV show, because I like to be able to go, right, there's 45 minutes and now I can walk away, or I can watch 10 of them in a row if I want to, and it's sort of like never ending, in a way. You know, it takes up quite a bit of your life,
yeah,
if you're going to watch a kind of mammoth show. Whereas I think in my younger years, I was less interested in series and more interested in film. So I think I just sort of missed the boat a bit on stuff like that.
Yeah. And I mean, so did I. I mean, I watched the first season on DVD back when Netflix was literally them sending you DVDs. You may remember that.
Oh my God, remember that.
We're old enough to remember that, kids. But no, I fully get it. And then you look at how many episodes there are and you're just like, ugh, like, I'm never going to do it. But it is like, you know, when you're reading a great book and you're actually excited to go to bed and read it. This is what it's like. It's like, oh, going to carry on with The Wire. Going to carry on with The Wire.
Yeah.
Like, just absolutely loving it, every chapter of it. And then when you finish that book, you're like, oh, I'll read something else, but it won't be as good, or it won't have the same feeling. So you kind of have to have a little break. And that's kind of how we feel. But yeah.
I think that's quite powerful, though.
It is.
That something has been so impactful on your mind and your life that you need a breather from that source of media in order to, you know, reset. To be honest, I've nearly finished rewatching the really terrible show that I'm watching at the moment. So when that's finished, I think it might be time. Might be time for The Wire.
I recommend it. And then what you can do is, as you get to certain points, you can message me and go, this has just happened. I can go, oh my God, and talk about it with someone.
Oh my God, what?
You need that. You need a sponsor if you're going to be watching The Wire, I think.
Yeah, a support. Mm-hmm. I'm so, do you know what, Lucy? I'm very pleased for you that you finished it in a way, but I'm also, I also sad I am for sad. You too.
I do feel sad. I feel a bit empty in the evenings now. Like there's nothing fantastic to look forward to, which makes me sound like I just don't have a life. But it's true, I don't, you know.
Well, it's cold outside. It's
just to loop back to the beginning of the episode. It's fucking cold. It hasn't gotten any warmer, you know.
No.
I have a child. I am in most evenings, okay? I like to have something good to do while I'm in. And I'm not doing DIY.
I don't go out after dark anymore.
Reverse vampire.
Too cold. Yeah. I go out when the sun is out. And then when it gets dark, I stay inside and I don't wear real clothes.
Yes, correct.
I
wear hats indoors.
That's what you call winter in England. I'm looking forward to that. I'm excited.
I'm excited for you.
I'm excited about the prospect. Well, to cap us off, and I think this will probably elicit a similar conversation in some respects, I'm going to bring you my something new, which is also slightly a something old. So the final season of the BBC drama, Peaky Blinders,
yep,
has just begun.
It has indeed.
We've just watched episode 2. And I am so engaged with it that I wanted to bring it as my something new today to the podcast, because I think I started watching Peaky Blinders when it was on like season 4 or season 5, and I binged my way through them.
Yeah.
And then we recently, towards the end of last year, rewatched all of them as well, in preparation for the final season.
Wow.
And I just, but again, because we'd seen them, I didn't pay much attention to them. And I sort of dipped in and out and just sort of thought, well,
it's all the same.
I'll keep up with it. I think because it's the final season, I am very, very excited to see what happens. And I think the clever thing is that it is being released weekly. So they haven't just gone, here's your final season, go. Which actually means that we have a Sunday night again. You know, Sunday night, 9 o'clock, it's everything else goes off. It's Peaky Blinders time.
Do you think it's good for anyone who Sunday night TV, though? Because we were discussing this last night. Sunday night, in fact.
I'm not sure, but we watched it last night and I slept okay. And then I got up and went for a run. So I think it's all right.
Bit somber.
It is a bit somber, isn't it?
But you...
It is a bit somber.
You do your spiel and then I'll give you my own spiel.
So for anyone who's not familiar, Peaky Blinders is about the Peaky Blinders, who are a family of gangsters come businessmen come madmen. Which the seasons start off in like the early 1900s, so just after the First World War. And now we're up to just pre-Second World War. One of the things that Peaky Blinders has started doing in the last couple of seasons is featuring very prominent political figures in the show, which has received some criticism. So, for example, in this season, a lady just appeared on the arm of Sir Oswald Mosley, and Joe went, "Who's that?" And I went, "That, darling, is Diana Mitford."
I said the same. I was like, "That's Diana Mitford.
The
Hitler was at their
the
wedding.
Nazi.
She wrote books. Yes. And her sisters.
She was mental.
They were all a bit."
And they were incarcerated. They're a fascinating family. I don't know if I've recommended to you the book about the Mitford.
I
want to
read it.
I think it's called
Very Interesting.
It's very good.
People.
They are fascinating. Now, there is a bit of controversy over whether they should be relying so much on historical figures, but it is based on a real group of people who
existed.
As IMDb said, sew razor blades in the peaks of their caps so they could attack people with them and protect themselves, perhaps. And I think one of the things that's interesting about the show is it's taking you through like Industrial Revolution and, you know, Prohibition and trade across the country and across the seas. But it is also dark and grim and depressing. And there's a bit of gypsy traveller lore and curses and interesting things, which I really like. I really enjoy it. And I think you have to acknowledge the stellar cast here. I mean, Cillian Murphy is... I mean, who thought he was ever going to be the heartthrob he became as Tommy Shelby?
Doesn't make any sense. His hair.
It makes no sense.
Is what makes him ridiculously hot. Everybody fancies him. Every man fancies him. Every
Who
woman.
Knew? Just ridiculous.
He's such a like drab character, really. Like, he's so like monosyllabic and cold. Like,
and vicious.
Yeah.
Vicious.
He's not the best.
And then also, even Tom Hardy as Alfie Solomons, who is disgusting, is still hot.
How many spoilers are we allowed to give for previous seasons? Spoiler warning. Warning now. I thought he was dead.
Yeah, but then he came back. 2 seasons ago, he faked his death.
Stupid. But then he came back again. Anyway, I don't really remember a lot about the old seasons. It all got a bit samey for me.
That's kind of why I had to rewatch it, because I'd forgotten. Spoiler warning, 30 seconds, that John
yes,
dies.
That, I mean, I think I gave that away to Len when I was very drunk and he was watching it. And I was like, has John died yet? And he was like, what the fuck are you doing? I was like, sorry.
What the fuck, man?
Spoiler still.
I mean, how he's died and Arthur hasn't is just beyond me.
I fucking hate Arthur. Another thing that puts me off a bit, I'm like, every season I was like, when is he going to die? When is he going to get got? I fucking hate him so much and he never dies.
I have to say, though, that the fact you hate him so much, I think, is just a testament to how good Paul Anderson
it's
is.
Not, yeah, it's, I mean, good performance, but I just think the character is just, and I don't feel like he's positioned in the show to be someone you're supposed to really hate. I don't think he's positioned as the villain. And I'm not saying he is, but I just find him vile. I really dislike him and don't want him to do well. I'm very sad about Polly not being in it, because obviously
I was about to bring up the fact.
I don't know if you want to continue with that.
So last year, really sadly, we lost a powerhouse of an actress, both on stage and on screen, in Helen McCrory, who played Polly in Peaky Blinders, but amongst many, many other things. I've seen her in some amazing national theatre productions. She's been
fantastic.
In just so much, and she's such an incredible loss. And I think it was very difficult to know how they were going to handle her character no longer being able to be in the show. And I think they did okay.
It was a really well done tribute to her and very moving. I didn't realise she died before they start filming. I thought we might get some of her. But I do think her loss is felt, and I think it's somber, obviously, because of the loss of Polly, the character, but there's no life in the show so far, these 2 episodes.
No.
We were watching it last night, and I was like, this is really, I'm not really feeling this. I'm not really enjoying it. I was like, there's no, like, she had a bit of sass and a bit of spark. Everyone in it is just, so.
And a bit of laughter and joy, I think.
Vitality. There's nothing.
I think what you've got is you're missing, Esme.
She's
John's wife.
To be back, so that's good. Need some more women in it.
Yeah,
just to add a bit of.
We haven't got Linda, who kind of tempered a lot of the women. So all we've got is Lizzie,
who's just again
Tommy's wife, who is very sad and depressing. The possessed child.
That's interesting. I like that. That to me.
I really like
sort
that
of gypsy bloodline surrounding.
With gypsy law.
Very interesting, and much more interesting than all this. And how many times is a man going to say, I gave up drinking 4 years ago? It's like, this first episode was basically him turning down drinks. I have found it quite
It was basically
boring,
Tommy.
Quite dull.
I thought the second episode was better, although you could very clearly see, so Ada, who I think Sophie Rundle plays really well.
Yeah, I like Ada.
Ada made a very good point. She went, I'm trying to be Polly, but I'm not Polly. And I think that was a real call out to the fact that, like you said, Helen McCrory brought something so vivacious.
Yeah, it's just
intangible
quality that she brought to every scene, and just the not only the character but the performance. And without that, it's very drab and it's just plodding. It was a bit better this second episode. That what's her name? This American girl, Gina. I think Anna Taylor-Joy is a very good actress.
Anya Taylor-Joy, yeah.
But that character, I think Michael is a bad actor as well. I think he's doing a bad impression.
Yeah, he's stiff. I have to admit that I absolutely fucking despise Gina.
Yeah. And I think that is the point. So it's a good performance, but I just don't really want to see any of her, really.
No, I've very little interest. But I am looking forward to seeing how the last season goes and how they see it out. I'm really looking forward to Esme coming back and seeing what happens with that kind of curse part of things, and, you know, just generally exploring how they close things off.
I can't believe he's going to turn into a fascist. This is very much a letdown of all my socialist leanings.
Is he, though?
Well...
Is he, though?
If he's trying to make money off it, I think that's pretty bad. I also thought... Right, this is how... Right, so I had to have my eyes tested because my eyes are terrible. I've got a sty, everyone listening at home, on my eye. Emma can see it.
Oh, you have. Bless you.
We're watching it in bed last night and I was, like, drifting off. And when... This isn't really a spoiler because it's me thinking someone was someone they weren't. You know, it's Jack Nelson in The Church and you sort of saw him from the side. I thought it was Tom Cruise. And I was like, wow, what a cameo. It's Tom Cruise. And he turned around. I was like, I need a bigger prescription.
It's
because it's not Tom Cruise. And he's also like a foot taller than Cillian Murphy. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't Tom Cruise, babe.
And I thought Uncle Jack That's could hilarious. Be Jack Kennedy because of the older... Boston politics, corruption. But I don't think he is because he hasn't got the same surname. I hope it gets better.
No, and I'm quite glad they didn't
do
that.
It livens up because it's just a bit shot in darkness, very like portentous. It's not the way people really speak in real life. Everything sounds very like it has hidden.
I think we need a party. We need a Peaky Blinders party. Yeah.
That'll help. That'll solve the problems.
Yeah, bit of dancing.
Yeah.
Bit of drinking, bit of music.
I watched the first five seasons.
Dark Straits.
So I feel like, and I think they are patchy in quality, but I feel like I have to see this out.
Yeah. I will blooper it for you, and I agree. It fluctuates in tone and quality, but I still think overall it's a 4 blueberry
okay.
show. I think I'd give it a solid 4. That is just tipped over the edge by certain characters and certain storylines. I think without some of them, it probably might dip down into a 3. But we'll see. We'll see what the final season does for
us. See how it averages out.
Yeah, indeed we will. Well, that's something old and something new from both Lucy and myself today.
Good ones.
It's been fascinating. Very good ones. I'm impressed by the speed at which you guessed Hot Fuzz.
Fucking love it.
Because it was a lot quicker than when you interrupted me. I could see it in your eyes.
I know it.
I'm delighted and yet saddened for your finishing of The Wire. I can't wait to see I Want You Back.
So good.
And to continue to discuss what might happen in the rest of Peaky Blinders.
Yes, well, we can catch up on that, on our next episode. We can give a little is it any good yet?
Little shout out. But that'll be it from us for now. What I'd like to tell you is that some very exciting things are happening in the Fan Critical universe. The lads are all going to be physically together for their next episode of The Minutemen,
good for them, I guess.
Where they will be discussing, among other things, The Batman, which has had quite spectacular reviews. So planning to see it on Saturday, we'll let you know what we think. So do tune in for that. That'll be out next week, I believe. And then we will have some more. How the fuck have you not seen that? And a couple of event movie podcasts coming up in the next few weeks because there's lots of exciting things coming out. So thank you, Lucy, for bringing me something old and something new.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And thank you, everybody, for listening. Welcome to those of you who are new. You're most welcome. Have a lovely rest of your week, day, night,
life.
Whatever time you happen to listen. Life, if this is the last time. Thank you for sticking with us for so long. This is us for now. Thank you. And we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.